Our man Will Z joining us from the coast of California to talk Kings basketball. Well, I just chuckled because I looked down at my computer and was like, what is this window open at the bottom? And I still have my Devin Carter film open from Saturday here on a different browser. Will, thanks for joining us. We'll get to Neek and Maxime, of course, for those just tuning in, we're not going to see Maxime Reynaud tonight, Sean Cunningham reported. He's dealing with wrist soreness from something that happened on Saturday, so he will be out tonight. But I do want to talk about what you've seen from him so far, Will. But I do want to start with Devin Carter. I had expectations for him entering the summer league, and it was I wanted him to look exactly like he looked on Saturday. Did you have any expectations for Devin Carter? Is there anything that you wanted to see from him this summer league?
Yeah, I think like a lot of other people, it was just, can we see him? Like the whole thing is the point guard position. And like, I know you've talked about it a lot, but like that to me feels like his only avenue to really find playing time is if he can get into that point guard role. And I don't know if we've seen that yet. I know the 30 points is great, but it still doesn't feel like he's the type of point guard that Scott Perry kind of wants. But obviously, like, the points are great. But to me, I think I just keep going back to the first game more so than the second game, and the two of them balance out so much where they're on, like, two opposite ends of the spectrum where you've got the one that was really good and the one that was really bad. But I keep going back to like the very first few minutes of the first game when he had an open three in transition. I think Neek cut to the rim and passed it out to him and he had the open three and he didn't take it. I don't remember if he passed or drove it and missed or whatever, but just if he's going to make this Kings team, he's going to need to do different things, I think, than we saw in the second game. And part of that is just hit, catch and shoot threes. And maybe it's because it was his first game and he's been in all the trade rumors and he had a lot on his mind, but I just keep kind of coming back to that and wondering, trying to look at what he's doing now and put that into his possible role with the roster as currently constructed. And I still just don't see it, but maybe I'm with you. I'm not super high on him. So maybe that's just my kind of bias leaning into it a little bit more.
I think more than not being super high on him, I'm not super high on the idea asking him to do something new, like asking him to do something different, like as the point guard. But, you know, I will give him credit. I thought he looked shaky and uncomfortable with the ball in his hand in game one, and he just looked completely different in game two. And you take the 10 of 13 aside, you take the 5 of 7 from three, you could take that stuff completely out of the equation and just watch him with the ball in his hands, watching him take the ball off the rim and lead a break, watching him kind of facilitate the offense. He looked like a completely different player from the first game to the second. And I'm not an athlete. I don't know what, because it's not like he got substantially better than he was, you know, 2 days prior. He had obviously just had a bad game, a bad outing, a bad whatever, but he looked so much more comfortable in game number two. And even with that said, I just don't, you know, looking comfortable as kind of the facilitator and the lead guard in a summer league game is one thing, but doing it when, you know, the best defenders in the world are running back on defense trying to stop you, that's an entirely different thing. Of course, you got better players around you. I just don't love the idea. And it's the same with Neek. I don't love trying to force someone into that position because you have too many guys who can't actually play that position.
Right.
It's just not my favorite approach that the Kings might be taking, because we've heard Devin as potential backup point guard minutes, and we've heard Neek as not necessarily backup point guard minutes, but potential point guard minutes. And I don't love either of those things.
Yeah. And it's possible where it might not matter as much as we're all making it out to be, because there's a difference about of being like a point guard when like Dylan Cardwell is your center. Obviously, like right now, it still kind of falls in the category of Sabonis, But there's a difference of being a point guard with a like pick and roll center, like a rim runner, and a point guard paired with Domantas Sabonis. Like Sabonis is still going to probably get more of those kind of ball handling when Schroeder's out. So it's possible it could work, and that's all on Doug Christie and the coaching staff and the offensive scheme. Like, can they make the backup point guards, who maybe aren't backup point guards, lives easier by setting up an offense where they don't have to do as much and run it through Sabonis more, which I don't think we saw as much last year. So that's one thing I'll be looking at as the season kind of starts, is what does that all look like? And do we get more of the kind of Sabonis-centric offense back that we saw in the last few years? But I'm with you. Like, both of them, I do think I like Neek more in that role than mm-hmm. Carter. Mm-hmm. He looks a little smoother to me in that like point guard spot. But I don't know.
Well, you talk about the Sabonis-centric offense. That can lead us into a conversation about Maxime Reynaud. You said when you joined the stream mm-hmm. during the commercial break, man, it's a bummer he's not playing tonight. He's out with the sore wrist. He was a guy when drafted, people were really talking about like he was a first round pick. Of course, you know, you look at some of the mock drafts and some of the big boards and stuff had him much higher than 42 where he wound up going. And then there's, you know, conversations about him angling his way, wanting to get to Sacramento, wanting to play mm-hmm. in Sacramento. And these first two games will have given us a pretty good indication, I think, of, or I don't want to say an indication, that's probably a little bit too strong, but it's given us a pretty good, like if we used our imagination a little bit and thought, hey, what would it look like if he was out there on the floor with Domantas Sabonis? Like what, or what could he look like if he's out there in place of Domantas Sabonis? He offers mm-hmm. a lot of differences that Kings fans have been, and it, not just Kings fans, but like I know we'll talk to James Hammond about 30 minutes. James has been screaming for, you know, a four or five who could stretch the floor and shoot the mm-hmm. three a little bit. And these first two games have shown Max might be that guy.
Yeah. And it's so exciting. It's like we finally got a true like stretch five. Mm. Like, and I think it is a really good pairing with Sabonis. And his shot's a little slow, but at the same time, he's 7-1, so maybe it doesn't matter. But to me, I do see – I wrote an article this morning on like three bold predictions based on Summer League games because it's Summer League and got to write about something, so why not overreact?
Yeah.
And my bold prediction for Reynaud was that he'll be starting by the end of the season.
Okay.
I think that just his ability to do so many things on the floor, to fit with Sabonis, to push Keegan back down to the three. I have no idea who would come out of the starting spot. I didn't get into that because I don't know.
It's dangerous territory. Out. Yeah, Will, you want to start six. You want to start six guys. Like, oh, yeah.
We'll leave that for another time.
Yeah.
But in terms of like play style, I think that the two of them work really well together. Like him being able to step out and hit the three. And it's not just him hitting the three, but also Sabonis proving last year that he can hit the three. Mm-hmm. He didn't shoot at high volume, but that still leaves room for Reynaud to operate inside, which he's shown great touch and great like post up. I know he probably won't post up as much as he is now, but his touch inside can still be utilized with Sabonis out there as well, because Sabonis has more of a consistent three-point shot as well. So it's not just Reynaud being able to step out and hit the three, but vice versa, Sabonis being able to space out and hit the three. And can they run a true five-out offense, which is one of the most lethal ways to kind of build an offense, I think, now, and have every person who's out there be a threat from three?
Yeah, and that's the key word, Will, the threat to hit that three. Mm-hmm. Can change the way things go for a lot of guys, especially Domas down in the block, who I guess I'll just continue to beg for him to shoot 14 or 15 times per game instead of 12 or 13. But I guess that's just a hill I'm going to die and rot on, because there's nothing in his career that shows that's ever going to happen. So just when you see me sitting on that hill, just give me a glass of water and let me, you know, live a month longer before I ultimately die. Because it just won't happen. So that's Max. So you've got a hot take for Maxime Renault. What about Neek? You know, Neek is another guy who both of these guys played really, really well in those first two games. Neek will go tonight unless we hear something within the next, you know, 4.5 hours or so. We expect Neek to go tonight. And he's been a guy who has had different bursts of, you know, fourth quarter Neek here in these first two games. But what have been your impressions of the first round pick so far?
He's just so poised, like both him and Renault, but Neek especially. I think he just has such a good feel for the game, and his ability to find the ball off the boards and get the rebounds is such a underrated skill. I think the size, like everything, just looks so polished for a rookie, and like it makes sense. He's 5-year senior, right? If I'm remembering right, and Renault was 4. That it makes sense for him to kind of have that advanced feel for the game, but it's just how he affects the game in so many ways, on defense, on offense, passing, rebounding. He can do a little bit of everything, and that's where it comes in, the difference between like him and Carter. Like, there's such a clear avenue for him to help this team win because he can do a different thing on a night-to-night basis, or can like slot into whatever the Kings need for that moment. Like, if they need him to score, maybe go score. If they need him to just defend, just go defend. If they need him to just focus on rebounding, go do that. But I think his skill set is so diverse that that fits into the holes in the Kings rosters. So if they go like a defense-heavy roster, or defense-heavy lineup, maybe he does a little more on offense, or vice versa. If they go offense, I don't remember which one I said, but you get the picture. Mm-hmm. And then same thing with his position. I think he can play multiple positions of need. Not like backup point guard. I still don't know if that's his like ultimate calling card, but the Kings have two spots, either the backup point guard or the backup three. Mm-hmm. And he can do either of those, I think. So he has a clear pathway to kind of a key rotational spot that I'm really excited to see how much they use him and what they use him on the NBA team.
You very obviously think highly of Max and his ability to kind of impact this rotation immediately. Do you feel the same about Neek?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that's good. Do you know, maybe you know Doug a little bit more than most. Do you know what his coaching style with young players is going to be, or do you have any sense?
No idea. Like, I know as a commentator, I know as a guy that you just talk basketball with, he'll tell you, you've got to let guys make mistakes.
That's good.
You've got to let guys make mistakes so you can correct them and they can be better. Otherwise, if the idea of correcting them is not playing them, they don't learn from anything. They just wind up playing scared. With all due respect to Mike Brown, I feel like he tried to coach players into a fear. Yeah, obviously this is not the case for Domas and De'Aaron and those type of guys. But like the Terrence Davises, I mean, the interactions with him and Terrence Davis are unfortunately legendary at this point. Even to a certain degree, like Kevin Herter, Chris Duarte, the whole saga around that too. It was always, you know, I think Casey, he hit the nail on the head during, I think it was the 7-game win streak after Doug took over. He said Doug accentuates what you can do rather than harping on what you can't. And sometimes it felt like Mike was harping on what you can't do rather than accentuating what you do. And as a young player, you have to find out what you can accentuate.
Yeah.
And Doug, at least in my conversations with him before he was Coach Christie, you gotta let these young guys play and figure out the game a little bit. They've gotta learn the game. They've gotta learn to feel the game.
Yeah, so to me, that's a really encouraging sign, I think, for both of them to come in and make an impact. Like, I love hearing that and knowing that they've got some of these young guys that can get minutes and get the experience and make mistakes and learn and be in that environment where they kind of know that it's going to be okay and they'll still get on the court. Like, that makes me even probably more excited for the two of them, like thinking about how Doug will use them and kind of coach them in their early NBA careers.
You think the Kings do anything else before we reconvene for training camp, or are we done?
Don't know. I've looked around a lot. I feel like they could still use another like true power forward, but I keep looking at ideas and I can't think of anyone. Like, I know the Kuzma thing was floated out there. I don't like it. I'm done. I think putting energy into the idea of Kyle Kuzma, like, it would probably be a fine
Will's like,
move.
I am not writing another Kyle Kuzma article.
That's
Absolutely
exactly
not.
what my thought was. Like, I'll pass.
Understood.
But
Understood.
I don't know. Like, it feels like they just have players in contracts that they're not going to be able to move. But at the same time, they still have the mid-level exception. So they could bring in someone for like nothing, theoretically, money-wise. And like, if they want to send out a pick for someone under that 14.1 million, I think they could. I just don't know who it would be.
I don't either, man. I don't either. But I appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for joining us while you're out on the coast with the family. I see we got bobbleheads and autographed baseballs
Yeah.
and a bat and all of that exciting stuff behind you.
Yeah. My parents are big time Giants fans,
Oh,
so
good stuff.
Will Clark signed bat that my mom got for my dad a few years ago.
Did we get a
It's kind of a
Barry
prized
Bonds
possession.
bobblehead a couple of days ago?
I don't think
No,
recently.
okay. I know that was a hot
But
ticket the other day. All of the Dodgers fans who showed up to Oracle Park got them.
Great.
I appreciate you, Will. Give Hannah and Kennedy our love, and we'll connect again soon, real soon.
Thanks, Damien. Sounds
All right.
good.